Right. Thank you very much for coming back and coffee. That's all for time. Hopefully you're enjoying the conference so far. Best of both speakers. We've now got David Scarlett, who's going to be talking about something that sometimes we all lack, particularly on Monday mornings, a bit of motivation. And the title of his talk is The Trusted Advisor. David has been involved with financial services for about 20 odd years, some as an advisor himself, a fee-based financial planner, 6 years as a business coach and mentor. David, in his business when he was a financial planner, started charging retainer fees in 1989. Was using the Crestwood system, which some of you may know, from 1991. He's also published quite a number of books and publications, one being The Soul Millionaire, which I see you have on your desk there. I'll pass you over to David.
Thanks, Jonathan. Good. I love the M&G presentation. They were passionate, weren't they? Absolutely. Wouldn't you like to do that for a living? Does anybody else do seminars? Anybody do seminars and workshops for clients or prospectives? Yeah, it's a fabulous way to earn a living. You ought to do this. Good. Well, the agenda's been set by the PFS. I didn't set the agenda or the title of the presentation, but I am excited about it because this is what I'm about to present in greater detail to my clients in September, towards the end of September. Called the Trusted Advisor, that was the task. And as I began to do research across the globe, particularly in the US, Australia, and coming back over here, I realised that the concepts I'm about to present are those concepts used by the top 2% of the profession. Now, however you manage effectiveness and success, the top 2% are doing the things that I'm now about to express. So my feeling was, as an ex-financial planner myself, I needed to listen to this, and since this is what I'm teaching, I think you do as well. What's that got to do? When I was a child, I used to love studying insects, and I was fascinated by the social structure of ants. I know it's sad, but I was. What I used to watch was ants crawling across our woods, huge wood ants, massive things. And if you've ever been bitten by an army of red ants, as I was in Florida the other day, you'll know how powerful ants can be. It was seriously painful. And I used to watch the way they behaved, and what I wondered was, how the heck do they walk through the woods in the lines that they do and never go off track, and even if they do, come straight back to where the line is and find their way back to wherever they came from, since they're really blind. They're pretty blind. How do they do that? And you're probably ahead of me. They lay chemical trails. And you may think, well, what's that got to do with my life as a financial planner? Well, I'll tell you. As I've coached financial planners over the last 6 years, I've faced a number of problems. Most people coming to me to ask me to give them a new solution to their future, to their business, struggle to change. And I really wrestled with the problem. Why will they not change when they're paying me to help them to change? What is going on here? What is the problem? Why do my coaching skills not yet crack it? And eventually I worked it out and readjusted what I was trying to do and the way I communicated with them, and got a lot of people on my programs to change. And what I worked out, what I realized by studying the psychological processes of what you do in your business, is I realized that you too are laying chemical trails. The way the brain works, I've discovered through hard sweat with my clients, is it works a solution to a problem. Sees a problem, says, how do I grow my business by X percent? How do I make a decision between UK funds and overseas funds? How do I do those things? How do I put all this taxation from the latest budget into my business? And it creates solutions for what you think is the thing to do in your business. And each of us in this room will do it slightly differently, because each of us thinks we're right. You wouldn't do it if you thought you were wrong. You do it because you think you're right. And what the brain does, the brain is fabulously efficient. It doesn't like hard work. If it finds a solution that kind of works, guess what happens the next time you meet the same problem? It will adopt the same solution. He thinks, to heck with all this hard work nonsense. And what it does is, as you work out a problem, as you're watching me here and you're working me out, you're laying a trail in your brain which is chemical. It's called myelin. And the process that you're going through right now is called myelination. And when you meet the same situation, the same problem again, your brain will say, what did I think about the last time to work out the solution to this problem? I'm going to go down the same path in my brain. And it goes down exactly the same path. And you think, great, I've solved the problem again. And the third time I solve the problem again. What you don't think about is the chappy or lady sitting next to you might have a solution that's 3 to 10 times as good as yours, and your brain doesn't care. Because even if your solution is ridiculous or ineffective or inefficient, it wants to carry on behaving in the same way. And that's the struggle I have whenever I've been working with my clients. They're just myelinated for 20 or 30 years in applying the same solutions to the problems they keep meeting in their business. And they think because it works, it is the best solution. And they ignore the fact that down the road is another financial planner who has 24 hours a day like they do, who has clients like they do, who's sitting in the same services industry, and their solution is 3 to 5, maybe 10 times as effective in terms of results. That's the struggle we have. And what I'm going to ask you to do today is, I'm going to ask you within 50 minutes to unmyelinate. Because some of what I'm going to present to you, you may be uncomfortable with, or you may think, I'm not sure I agree with that. Because you're myelinated for 20 long, deep years. And so this may be tough, but I'm going to ask you to think about it anyway, because if the top 2% of your profession are doing this, you might want to know about it. Okay. I don't mean they're only doing this, they're doing a number of things, but this is one of the things they're doing. I was given the title Trusted Advisor. What does that mean? What these are the three things I think a Trusted Advisor means. It means you have some competence in something, you have integrity in what you're doing, and you have a purpose. What on earth do I mean by that? Let's examine that. Let's take purpose first of all. And here's the first mindset shift that might be uncomfortable for you. You have to make a decision as a financial planner, as I did. What exactly is the point of your business? I learned eventually to say this to clients. When you come to me, my client is you, not your money. As I've examined hundreds of advisors by one-on-one interviews over the last 10 years, before I became a business mentor and coach and afterwards, I've realized that most people are working with the client's money. I'm a financial advisor, therefore I work with people's money. It's pretty logical, isn't it? When I was a financial planner, I realized I wasn't doing that. I was working with people, and the money was secondary. And here's the problem you've got. You sat through a tax presentation this morning and a fund presentation this morning, and most of us are given tools by the previous two speakers which are very logical and pretty concrete. The tax presentation is a very measurable presentation. There's percentages in there and numbers, and we think that people, we end up using these tools in a way that suggests this. People think about money logically, and that's complete rubbish. Nobody thinks about money logically. In fact, we don't think about money, we feel about money. The way people spend and play with their money represents the way they feel. And we'll go into that in a bit more detail later. And you have to make a decision. It's not a matter of what's wrong or what's right, but you have to decide as an advisor, am I the kind of advisor that's working essentially internally with my client, or am I the advisor that's working with their money, working externally? And unless you make that decision, you're going to fudge that decision to the day you retire. And the reason why there are people out there doing things that most of us have not done yet, is because we've never made that decision. We're playing somewhere between these two things. And we've never made a fundamental decision. What am I in business to do? Am I working with a client, or am I working with a client's money? We'll go into that in a bit more depth in a second. That is a fundamental decision of purpose. You have to make that decision. If you don't, then the quality of your business will reflect the fact that you've never made that decision. Let's talk about integrity. What do I mean by that? I know you're honest. I trust you. And so do they, generally. But we're moving in a very cynical world. The last 2 years, last three, have made the consumer base incredibly cynical about our industry. I know you're not banks, most of you. I know you're financial advisors. But they don't care. As far as they're concerned, you're in financial services. And they are becoming globally increasingly cynical and increasingly sophisticated in the way they view the world and the way they make decisions. Unless we run with that, we will lose out and we'll be just completely caught off balance. By integrity, I mean, I'm not talking about your individual ability to be trusted. Here's what I mean, that you have a business that's designed as a business, not just put together as a sales operation, that it is operated effectively and it is highly profitable per client. Who here has done a client analysis of every single one of their clients and checked profitability per client? Okay. The problem with that, and I did the same thing too, it was a long time in my business before I did a client analysis. I just didn't realize it was important. Until somebody asked me the uncomfortable question, are all your clients profitable? I said, well, I don't know. And they said this to me, and this was really uncomfortable. Then some of your clients are making your business a loss. Why do you have them in your business? Which also means that profitable clients are subsidizing your nice relationships with the sweet people who are causing a loss. Is that fair? And I was very, very uncomfortable with that questioning process. And I faced up to it and changed. But to me, that's what integrity is demanded by those people out there who are buying our services. That we run a business which is ethically structured, fair, and operates profitably. That our personal finances, and this was really uncomfortable. One of my closest friends now used to be my wealthiest client. He's a multimillionaire, retired, semi-retired at 42. I was really jealous of him, but I really liked him. And he asked me about my personal finances because I was dealing with all of his finances and his pension schemes and everything else. And I was really embarrassed when he looked into my finances because they weren't stable. This was about 8 years ago. They weren't stable. And he looked at me, and I knew exactly what he was going to say, and I was squirming. How can you, and you can continue that sentence, can't you? How can you advise me? And he said, what you need is a mentor. I said, well, costs a lot of money, Andrew. He said, well, I'll be your mentor for 5 years. Come to me when you're ready. And when I was ready, which was 3 years ago, I went to him. I said, I can't afford you because I know what you charge as a business doctor globally. Can't afford you because you charge tens of thousands. So I do it for free. Because I need you to operate in integrity. So that's what I mean by integrity as a financial planner. And that your client's future is uppermost. Your client's future is uppermost. Okay, let's talk about purpose, talk about integrity. Now let's look at competence. What do I need to be able to do to be a trusted advisor against the competition who are functioning in this way? I'm not saying that if this is comfortable or fun. I'm just saying, you know what? This is what's going on around us. And you might want to know about it so that you can make your own decisions about your change and unmyelinate what you've learned so far. To me, there are four sets of competencies. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on some of them because those are different presentations. Number one, that you're technically competent. To me, that's a given. To me, that you're certified or chartered or heading that way is a given. It's not a subject of discussion anymore. It's over. To be professional, that's what we have to do. Number two, that you can run a business, not a practice. Time for practice is over. that you can run a business that is profitable and runs as a business, that you understand marketing strategy, that you understand cost analysis, you understand profitability analysis of your clients, you do regular surveys of your clients to find out what they really want you to do rather than what you think you want they want you to do, and then you deliver what they really want. Okay, you understand leadership in business, you understand staff recruitment and just looking after your personnel. You just understand how to run a business, not a practice. The leading advisors in your field understand how to run a business and are not talking about being practices anymore. They're talking about being very effective businesses within which brilliant financial planning is done. And here's the final element of running a business. If you can't walk away from your business, by default, it is not a business. If I can't take 6 months out of my business, which I can't right now, took 6 weeks and that hurt, but not 6 months, which is why I'm recruiting like crazy around me and bringing in people around me who are far brighter than I am, they will take over the business. But if you and I can't walk out of our business, by default and by definition, what we haven't got is a business. What we have got is a practice. A business is a system in which other people have jobs and they can run it without us. When it's personality led, by default, that cannot be a business. It's a personality led practice. Not a matter of what's right and what's wrong, just that it isn't a business. And I think a trusted advisor's competence is, how do I run a business, not a practice, within which brilliant financial planning is done and that can stand on its own 2 feet and isn't dependent upon me having good moods and am I having a great day and am I well or not, can I function or not. The business just runs. I spoke to one person in this arena who's very successful and he had bronchitis and he was away for 3 months. And I said, Peter, how did it go? He said, it went better without me. That's the mark of a business, not a practice. Leadership, I just touched upon that. The ability to lead the client the way that is morally appropriate for them to go. The ability for the client to follow you and you be the leader and lead them to a future that is appropriate morally for them. Coaching, we're going to come to that now. I think coaching is a competence that's coming to the fore now, and many of you, who here has been on a Kinder course? George Kinder? Anybody been on Backrack courses? No? Okay. The skills taught on these courses now are coming to the fore, and the leading financial advisors in the USA and Australia and now in the UK are skilled professional coaches as well as financial advisors. And that's why they're in the top 2%, and I'll show you why that is in a second. Those are the competencies. Why bother? Why bother changing? Because you're running good business already. Some of you look, you know, very smart and your suits are lovely and your persona is brilliant and I'm sure you're rolling in lots of money, but you've got fabulous cars out there and you're having a good time and some of you are probably close to retirement and going to swan off into wonderful retirement. Well, if you're going to be here for more than 5 years, here's why bother to even think about changing and becoming a trusted advisor. Because many of the people coming to me asking this question, David, how do they do that? How do they have clients that I would give my right and left arm for, but consistently get them month in and month out, paying them exactly what they want to pay them? How do they create huge recurrent revenues? I'm not talking £50,000 a year, I'm talking 10 times that much per advisor. I spoke to Eamon, who sat by me for 12 years when we were in a practice and in a business together. Funniest Irishman in financial planning I've ever met. I mean, he's so bright, he's so funny, he used to keep us in fits. He could talk to his clients in a way that I wouldn't dare, but they loved him. And I remember Eamon sitting there trying to create recurrent revenue back in 1994. Okay, now my maths isn't that good, I'm only a financial planner, but I reckon that's 16 years ago. He was creating recurrent revenue. And I'm hearing clients coming to me now asking the question, please can you help me do this? And I keep thinking, where were you in 1994? This has been on the table as an agenda for years, for 15 plus years. And Eamon said, you know what? I just don't know how to do this. I just don't know how to find enough millions that will create recurrent revenue in terms of assets on the books. Just don't know how to do it. And we worked at it together. And I spoke to Eamon 4 years ago and I said, per advisor in the business, what have you got under management in terms of millions of pounds? And he said, each advisor is not allowed to be in the business now unless they have £40 million under management. Just slowly, didn't do it quickly, but it took 15 years. Just plod along. And you may ask yourself the question sitting there, how do they do that? While they're trusted advisors using skills and competencies maybe you haven't started using yet or not enough of. How do they have oodles of free time? I met one client up in our northern team and he came to me stressed out of his brain. Now I have to admit, I wasn't responsible for the change as much as he says I am. He just changed. He just joined a group of people that were in the workshops, he met them and talked to them and he thought, I can do this, and he changed. When he first met me, he was scared of charging fees for anybody at all and really struggled with handling more than 100k worth of assets. He didn't know how to attract clients of that nature. I spoke to him back in May and asked him how things going. He said, well, after 18 months of doing this stuff, I turn away anybody with less than a million. I've doubled my revenue. And I realised, you know what, I didn't have a lot to do with that. I wish I could say I did, but I didn't. He just got it. And you may ask the question, how do they do that? And he said to me this, before I never saw my wife. And when I met with him, he was grieving. I just never get to see my wife. Now, we have Friday afternoon off every week. Every week I have Friday afternoon off. And you may be sitting there thinking, how do they do that? Let's look at that. Why bother? Why bother changing? Well, from your point of view, this is why bother. If you become a trusted advisor in the way that I've seen other advisors overseas and now in this country doing, you'll just have these things happening. You'll have more free time and you can significantly increase the value of your business. Here are some of the sub-outcomes that happen. Conversion rates. Everybody you see or everybody that contacts you will become a client. Just rises. Profitability per client rises as a trusted advisor. You get immediate referrals, before you've even signed them up as a client. I've been talking to Tina Weeks recently. Who has seen Tina Weeks present? Yeah, she's a Kinderite, you know, George Kinder, she's just in love with George Kinder and loves all his stuff. And she said to me, I keep getting referrals when they haven't even signed up as a client yet. I never got that as a financial planner. And she said, because I've become a trusted advisor in this sense, you'll be different to the rest of the... Because none of you put your hands up apart from three people who said, I'm a Kinderite or I've been on a Kinder course, you get this kind of methodology right in your business and you'll be so vastly different from the person sitting next to you that you'll stand out from the crowd. Now, I teach marketing and I guess you've been to marketing workshops. And my understanding of one of the first principles of marketing, in other words, attracting people to you and turning them away when you don't want them, is you must be different. Not better than, different to. And if you can be a trusted advisor in the way I'm suggesting today, you will be different too, because guess what? In this group of 100, only three people put their hands up. And that's classic marketing. I spoke to a trusted advisor who'd chosen a particular niche market. It happened to be dentists. Could have been anything. He dominates his market. Absolutely dominates it. In fact, of the dental board in this country, he's been asked to join the board of dentistry as a trusted advisor. He dominates his market. You may have heard of him, he's a guy called Chris Barrow. Chris and I used to be quite close friends, we haven't seen each other for a while. And if you walk around major dental practices in this country, here's what you can say. Wait for this, you ready? Have you been barrowed yet? The guy dominates the market. because he decided to work in a particular way that's different to the vast majority of people in this room. So why bother? Oh, in the USA, research done on trusted advisors who use coaching methodology is that the sale value of their business is 3 times those of those that don't. Minimum. It's actually 3 to 5, but I didn't think you might believe that. 3 times those that don't. I think this is really important. To me, commercially, this is... Why bother for the clients? Just let's touch upon this emotional argument. When I stopped being a full-time financial planner, because I realised what it is that I wanted to do, and there were some things in financial planning that were getting in the way of me doing them effectively. I needed to spend more time on certain subjects with my clients. And I started debt counselling. Didn't want to, but I spent a year involved in heavy debt counselling. People owing masses of money who looked otherwise quite comfortably off. And I realised this, if you and I think that people, that's them out there and us in here in this room, think logically about money, we don't understand people. No human being works with money logically. Money is an extension of the way people think and feel about life. Money is an extension of the way people feel and think about life. And if you think that they think logically about the things that you're talking about, you don't understand what people are doing in front of you. You've never really comprehended what's going on. You may think you do, but you're skimming the surface. No human being works with money logically. They're a bundle of emotions, and their money, the way they spend it and don't save it in this country, or spend it and save it in China, is a function of how they feel and the culture that they're in. They're a bag of feelings. You're looking at me right now, and you're a bag of feelings behind the suit and the tie and the veneer of being in this business. You're summing me up. Some of you are thinking, what a bunch of twaddle, and some of you think, I really like this stuff. You're just a bunch of feeling. There's nothing logical going on in this room. I laughed when Ben spoke, and so did you. It's all emotional. We're driven emotionally. Unless you comprehend that's how people work in front of you, you're missing a huge trick. And I use that in the loosest term. You're just missing a huge point that could phenomenally affect two things: the quality of relationship you have with the client and the quality of business that you will build for you in your future. Money and the way people feel about life and the meaning they have in their life and the things that hurt them and the things they get frustrated with and the things they find joy in are all wrapped up with money. Otherwise debt counselling would never happen. People get screwy about money and go hugely into debt. There's nothing logical, they just think screwy. Unless you can take all that and the tools that you're learning today in the first two presentations, the presentations after mine, and help them put all this emotion into their daily life and get it structured in a way that works for them, you're missing a huge trick. There's a business on the table sitting in front of you and you're just avoiding it. And the top 2% have worked it out and have got it right. How do I get everything that they really feel about their life, the things that are meaningful to them, and use my money skills to help them make it happen? How do I do that? Is a highly developed professional skill. And those that learn it are in the top 2%, and those that don't are in the 98%. Fact. Fact. How do I do that? Here's what you do. You develop some competencies. I can give you some clues today. We haven't got 7 hours. You probably don't want 7 hours with me, but we haven't got 7 hours. I can give you some clues as to things you need to learn as competencies on top of your professional money skills, your tax skills, and your business skills. Here they come. First of all, you need to learn marketing. Why? Because all of you are great empathetic sellers. I bet all of you are very charismatic or very sensitive in a one-to-one meeting. I bet if I sat with you, you would impress me. And I would feel that you actually cared. I bet that of all of you. There might be some that don't care. I did hear a phrase from one of my friends the other day saying, why is it that we're supposed to really care about people and use things? And I see far too many people around me in business caring about things and using people. That was an interesting question. I read New Modern Advisory the other day. I love the magazine, I love it. But I go to the page where they talk about, you know, the top advisor of the week, the new model star. What's in your garage? I think, just, what age are we? What's in your garage? What the heck's that got to do with anything? What's in your toy boy? You know, I mean, what toys you... It's just so shallow. Who cares what's in your garage? What's that got to do with how people work? If you can take your skills that you've already developed, your empathetic skills, and put them into marketing, what's the difference between marketing and selling? Marketing's what happens before they ever meet with you. I'll repeat that. Marketing is what happens between them and you before they've ever met with you, sat with you and fallen in love with you. If you could do that, all of that trust developed in your marketing, then you're in the top 2%, or at least you have a chance of being. And I'll show you why. What I learned as a financial planner and then as a business coach, and it was hard work making that transition, is I can get people to trust me, to commit to working my way and only my way, and to collaborate with me by doing some really hard work before they've ever met with me. I'll repeat that. I can get people to trust me, to commit to working in my way, and to collaborate with me in really hard work before they've ever met me. Question, can you? It's just another professional skill. If, watch what happens here. If I can get a person out there that I'd really like to work with and get rid of those that I don't want to work with, catch their attention, get them to be aware of who I am and what I do, get them to be actually interested in what I am and what I do, if I could do that, then if I could get them informed about me, really informed about what goes on in my life and my business and with my clients, if I can get them to be familiar with the way I work and talk and think and feel, and they actually like it, and they know me before they've ever met with me, if I could do that, wouldn't that be powerful? They've never even met with me, and they know, they feel they know me. Almost close buddies. They feel if I could just meet me, they'd throw their... How do I do that? That's what marketing's all about. Now, trust, commitment, collaboration. I'll give you an example of that. Before my clients ever meet with me, or prospective clients ever meet with me for the first time, here's what I do. Ready? I ask them to fill in a 25-question questionnaire. 25 questions. They must have that questionnaire to me at least a week before I ever meet with them for the first time. I never give free meetings. And I'm asking you to translate for yourself here. Never, I don't do freebies. Stopped doing freebies years ago as a financial planner. Why am I giving away my financial skills for free? They cost me a fortune to gain. They are worthy of a fortune. They should be paid for. And I made my clients answer 25 questions before they'd ever come anywhere near me as a prospective client. And do you know what happens when you do that? They're involved with you. They're committed to the relationship. They're collaborating with you in the process. And they are on side. It's not a trick. It's understanding how human beings work. Can you do that? Because trusted advisors do. Martin Bamford, as an example, bless him. I love Martin. He's so bright, he scares me. He never allows a client to come through his door unless he's filled in everything. That client's filled in everything, or she. All the questionnaires, everything. Before they've ever come near the door. Why would you waste your time filling in paperwork with a client? What a waste of highly professional time. What a waste of your years of expertise and blood, sweat and tears. That's what marketing is all about. Trust, commitment and collaboration from them before they've ever met with me, and then they come to the first meeting. That's what a trusted advisor does. A trusted advisor learns how to do that before the meeting. And in the meeting, a trusted advisor avoids this like the plague. "Well, enough about me" is the caption. I see websites and I hear meetings going on talking about the advisor. I thought this was supposed to be about them, not about us. I see websites that talk about me, my service, my team, my qualifications, me, me, me. I thought it's supposed to be about them. Whenever I look at a website and it's talking about me, 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 look at all my cups and medals and medallions, I realise this advisor hasn't a clue about marketing. Not a clue. And certainly the web designer doesn't have a clue either. Homepage of a website should never be about me, 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 me. Golden rule. Forbidden, verboten. And trusted advisors don't do that. Never. Here's what you achieve as a trusted advisor. Go back on that. Here's the beauty of this relationship. What I realise you could do as a trusted advisor in the first few minutes to really discover what this human being is about. And you know what? That isn't easy. To really, without being invasive, peel back the layers, dig deep, and understand the massive emotions in this being sitting in front of you. Learning how to, without being obtrusive, without being too invasive of their privacy, allow to come out who this person really is, what they feel about their life, and what they would really love to do. And then to help them design a vision of their future. Now I'll give you a clue here. If you've got a client who feels that they haven't got much of a future, drop them. How can you work with a non-future focused client and help them to make changes they don't really want to make? A client that's worthy of a trusted advisor has to feel that they have a future. Or a future for their family. That gives you something to work with. And a trusted advisor develops the professional skills to uncover what this person's really all about, and then help them see what their future is that maybe they've never told anybody else, including their spouse, in their life. I've had women and men sitting in front of me telling me stuff about what they really would like to do that they're scared of telling anybody else. Particularly the guys down the pub and in the bar, particularly their colleagues in the financial services industry, because they think they'd be laughed at. They feel stupid. They never tell anybody except you, the privileged trusted advisor. I can't believe how little most of us appreciate the privilege that we have. Which other industry or service or profession allows us to intimately get involved with this human being and their money on a one-on-one basis in the way over 10, 20 years that you and I are able to do? What an amazing privilege that is. And yet, most of us haven't quite got the power of that privilege. We've not yet developed the tools to allow us to use that privilege to everybody's benefit. Once you've learned how to do that, then you can apply your expertise and your execution of what they should be doing to achieve their end goals. But you have to learn those things. How do you do that? Very quickly. If you want to discover the core of what's inside that human being sitting opposite you, you have to learn how to do that. Because the top 2% know. That's why they're the top 2% in the industry. First of all, forget you. The meeting, particularly the first meeting, is not about you. And if you ever find yourself talking about you and your practice or your business in the first meeting, you have fundamentally got it wrong. It's supposed to be about them, not about you. If you haven't worked out how to communicate about you before they've ever met with you, then you need to get somebody out there to help you with your marketing. Because that should be over. So that's done. It's over. It's about them in the first meeting, not about you. It's never about you. You have to develop listening skills that most of us don't have, particularly men. Men really struggle with listening skills. We live in a competitive male environment. We're always interrupting each other. We're always playing alpha male. We always want to dominate the conversation. We always think we have the best ideas and the client doesn't yet know it. And I better tell them as fast as I can so they can realise how intelligent I am. We're just in there all the time. We just need to shut up. And I don't mean see who can last 5 minutes and then they make the... It's not none of that rubbish. It's the ability to keep you quiet and to listen to a depth you've never learnt before. That's what trusted advisors do, and it's a learnable skill. And then to know what the right questions are to discover what's in front of that human being. If you can do that, guess what will happen? They'll work with you and never work with anybody else. They wouldn't even think of going to another advisor. And they'll stick with you and they'll give you all their money. And they'll trust you for as long as their breath continues in a way that you've never experienced before. And I'm feeling passionate about this because I've experienced it. And the difference is phenomenal between normal financial advice and working as a trusted advisor. It's a different world. Until you've experienced it, I might as well try and explain to you what skiing feels like. And you've never experienced it. It's that different. What's the underlying process? Understand that everybody in this room has some discontent with their present life. And if you don't, I don't believe you. Everybody in this room has some area of discontent with where they are in their life. They're either regretting something, uncomfortable about something, wishing they had done something with their life, or hurting on somewhere. Every human being in this room has something they regret about and are discontent with something that's not happening or that is happening within their life. We're just normal people. That's what we do as human beings. And if you can help them understand their unfulfilled dreams and get them out on paper and understand what's irritating them and get them to express what they really regret with their life, and it's in front of the two of you, you can do wonders with your financial planning. Because you can't do financial planning as a trusted advisor in a vacuum. It's got to apply to somebody's real life. And this is real life. Secondly, you have to develop the skills to help them see how their future could be and get them to believe it. That's a highly skilled ability. But it just takes learning. If I can get... And here's what clients really want. People tell me clients love my service. Well, they might do. But you know what? I think you're wrong. What clients really want from you and I is the outcome of the service. How will this service help me develop some new outcomes into my life and change my life? If it's not changing, then why bother? They only want outcomes. They don't want your service. So how long do I have? What's the time?
5 minutes or so.
Okay. And those outcomes had better be inspirational, motivational, and congruent with things that they really believe in. And you need to learn how to do that. Let's move on. Oh, here's some outcomes that I discovered over the years and looked at through surveys. This is what they really want from us. They don't want pensions. They don't want insurance. They don't want any of that stuff. In surveys in the USA, Canada, and the UK that I've seen in writing, they never mention pensions, investments, or insurances. They mention these things. From my financial planner, this is what I want. These are the outcomes I want in my life. I don't see pensions mentioned anywhere there, or investments. And if that's what they want, why are we doing selling? What are we doing selling them something else? That's why the top 2% are the top 2%. They realise what they want, and that's what they focus on. There are some tangible outcomes. Can you make a measurable change in my life, Mr. Advisor? Can you help me do that? A measurable, tangible change. I can actually feel it and touch it. Give an example of that. Speaking to Nicola Downs the other day, Trentham Invest down in Surrey. She wrote a brilliant report to a client. Right at the end was something really, really cute. Cute in the English term, not the American term. Here's what she said. Now, James, making the client's name up, you'll now be able to buy the two horses that Brenda wants, pay off the mortgage 8 years early, measurable, and buy the stables for the two horses that Brenda's been talking about for the last 5 years, and you thought you could never give her in time before you all got too old to enjoy them. Measurable, tangible, specific outcome. James loved it. Forget the stupid report, wasn't interested in the rest of the pages. He just wanted the horses in the house. She knew the client, and she gave him some measurable outcomes in the report. How do you do that? Learn from people like that. Kinder, Dan Sullivan, Bill Backrack, Maria Nemeth, Nancy Klein. I love Nancy Klein's book. Time to Think is the title. If you're going on Amazon after this meeting, look up Time to Think by Nancy Klein. It's a brilliant book used by major corporations in the UK and USA as a way of senior executives working with each other and getting to the truth of what's really going on in the business. Time to Think. Listen to the way they work with their clients. I'm just going to rattle through this quickly because we're running out of time. Here's some Kinder questions. Question number one, why are you here? Let me just go back here. First question you ask the client, why are you here? Why are you here? And the client just goes, bleh. Then you ask the rich question. And you know those questions. If you had all the money in the world, if you had £5 million, just what exactly would you do because there were no barriers to you doing it? And he just stands back and just listens. Then he asks the five-year question. And this is done very carefully and very sensitively, not just thrown at the person like this. If you had only 5 years to live because you'd just been to see the doctor and he didn't tell you, you're going to have a nice time, you're not going to suffer, you're just going to die one day, bang. And there are going to be no signals or signs, you're just going to die within the next 5 years. What exactly would you change about the way you're living today? What exactly would you change about the way you're living today? This is a takeaway, incidentally, so you might want to jot down some notes. And the final question, this is the one that brings out the most pain and the most frustration every human being I've ever met. You've seen the doctor and he's apologised and said, I made a mistake, you have 24 hours to live. What would you regret never having done with your life? And you know what happens? The most meaningful things in that potential client's life come onto the table within seconds. And everything else just drops to the floor. And if you're not working with the most meaningful things in our clients' lives, what are we doing in our profession? Why would you want to work with something else with your money planning skills? Has taken Kinder years to develop. Sullivan does. Everybody know the R factor question? Yeah, you know the R factor question. Anybody else know the R factor question? If you and I were meeting here in 3 years from today, here, listen to the question, what has to have happened in those 3 years to make you now very happy with your life? If we and I were meeting here 3 years from today, what has to have happened in those 3 years to make you very happy with your life? I'll send you some notes. And you know what? That question just opens up a human being. Bill Backrack. Everybody studied Bill Backrack? He asks, first question, forget about the chit-chat and all that warming up stuff nonsense. There's just no need for it. Sit them down, and he looks them in the eyes and asks this question. What is it that's important about money to you? What is it that's important about money to you? And they answer, well, you know, money helps me just support my family's... And then he asks the question, I hear what you're saying. What is it that's important about your family to you? Well, my family make me feel, and we relate to each other, and my children this, and my children that, and I love them. And that's really interesting. What is it that's important about your children to you? You see what's happening? Within about 2 minutes, the conversation has shifted from money to the deepest emotional things going on in that client's life. It never fails if you use it properly. And I've used it frequently, and I can't believe what happens in front of me. Yes, you might get tears. Frequently I do. So in summary, there are things to learn to become a trusted advisor. They're learnable skills. The people I've just listed on that board teach them. forget about me. To be a trusted advisor, which was the task set for me in today's presentation, you need a purpose. You need to define who you are. What is it you're playing with? Are you playing with the client's money, or are you serving the client? What's your job? Make a decision and define your purpose as an advisor. But make a clear decision, and it will change the shape of your business, whichever of those two you decide. You have a completely different business. Do you have business personal integrity in your money and the way your business operates? Is it profitable per client? Are your finances in order? And do you have the client's future uppermost in your mind? Do you have all the competence to become a trusted advisor? Do you know about coaching? Do you know about leadership skills? Are you a highly developed business person, not a financial advisor? All those competences are required to become a trusted advisor and be in the top 2%. And do you work regularly focusing on a client's outcome, not on your service? They couldn't give a monkeys about our service. They don't care. What they want is the outcome in their life. And yet we rabbit on about our service. We're doing them a disservice by doing that. That's just our 20 years. Who here has been in the industry longer than 10 years? Longer than 20. Okay, that's a lot of myelination going on in this room. And it's hard to change, but I promise you it can be done. And the results are worth it. Because when you do that and find out why they're discontented with their present, what they feel deep, here's what happens. The human being sitting opposite you feels that they are deeply understood by the person sitting opposite them. And they will trust you in a way they'd never trust another advisor because of the way they feel about you and the fact that you want to understand them, not their money, them. When you can do that, they become inspired by the future you've helped them to articulate, and they become committed and collaborate with you in the way that you want them to, because you know this is the best way to do it. The result of that is you earn trust in a way you've never done before. You can create success for you and your business and them in a way you've never done before. And I promise you this, your business just becomes more enjoyable and the relationships are far more fulfilling, just eons more fulfilling than you've ever had before. I'd want to go to work 9 to whatever it is and enjoy my business, just relish it, lavishly, you know, just exude myself within it, because I love what I'm doing. I'm passionate about it, not about the money, that will come. I'm passionate about the fulfilling relationships. Acting as a trusted advisor does that. Now, so we summarise, thank you for your time. If you liked any of that, any of it at all, then I'll make sure you want... Does anybody want the notes and slides? Anybody? Yeah? Copy? Yeah. Okay, one or two. Okay? I'll make sure you get detailed notes and slides. I've been told to prepare some takeaways so you can actually take something away from this rather than me talk about me. If you liked any of that, for some reason people want to hear me again. I never understand that. I wouldn't, but, you know. If you want the audio, I'll deliver the audio to you. I can send that by email. I've got special software that does that. Another takeaway, you know, I talked about marketing. I wasn't going to spend time on it because in here, this is free, okay? I give this thing away because I love giving it away. It's a 79-page marketing manual. Good old Martin Bamford's in there because he loves it. Barry Horner loves it. Adam Young loves it. Dennis Hall loves it. They all love it because they've used it in their business. It's called the Marketing Manifesto, IFA Marketing Manifesto. If you want it, it's yours for free. Not this copy, but I'll send you a copy for free. Okay, you can have a free copy of that. Another takeaway is this. We're running a workshop for our clients. We have some guest spaces on the 28th and 30th of September on the Trusted Advisor concept. It's called the Transformational First Meeting. If you want to learn about that, let me know. More than that, Jonathan mentioned this silly book of mine. This thing nearly killed me to write. It's a story about money, ostensibly. I want to give those away to clients of clients. I want financial advisors to give this thing away to their client. It will help prepare them to think about money in the way that you want them to think about money. And I want to give 10 of these to every advisor I can free. How I do that, and whether you can grab 10 for your clients, I'll email you about. Years ago, I did get together with good old Brian. Who's heard of Brian Tracy? Brian Tracy, Mark Victor Hansen. Yeah, he wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul and all those. These guys have sold 150 million books between them. And when they asked me to co-author with them, I said, "Wow, yeah, love some of that." So I got a chance to co-author with Mark Victor Hansen and Brian Tracy and one or two other top authors who taught me an awful lot. If you want a copy of that book, I've got 25 spare today. First 25 to come to me with their business card can have a copy free. And finally, I send out a business letter to advisors every week. There are two actually, one's called a three. Okay. Please don't email me and ask me how much it costs for the newsletter, it's free. I send out one a fortnight each. If you want any of that stuff, you're not having it unless you give me a business card, and then even then the business card will get thrown away unless it has on the back or on the front an E. And what that says is, please email me the stuff that you promised me I could take away. E, get it? Okay. If my staff see a business card with no E in, they bin it immediately, because to them that's spamming. You've nicked the card, it hasn't got an E on, in the bin. So if you want any of that stuff, plus this free, plus how to get 10 copies of this free, plus one of these free, business card with an E on. Thank you so much for your time. I think it's lunchtime. My name, incidentally, is David Scarlett, not as it's got down there. My company's not called The Soul Millionaire. Well, I have a holding company called, it's called The Advisor Gym. The book is called The Soul Millionaire, and actually that's what they call me. It's a funny name, I know, but it has a meaning. You might want to find out about it. Thank you so much for your time. I hope some of that has made a difference to you. Thank you.